Welcome to the November 7th, 2018 Your Living Brand Live Show. My name is Ben Baker and my company is Your Brand Marketing. Every week we bring on another guest and that guest's job is to teach us something new because every company is unique. Every company is different. Every company has a story to tell. And it's that uniqueness, that difference, that thing that you can tell people that adds value to their lives that keeps you from being a commodity. It starts you being a brand worth loving. Because if you're a brand worth loving, you're a trusted partner, and you stop being one of many quotes. You stop being the one that they come for and say, well, how cheap can you do it? And you start being the person that they say, well, can you help me? And that's what you want. And Gary Wilbers is one of those people because Gary talks about company culture. How do you affect company culture? How do you build a company culture? And how do you get one that's successful? So sit back. Enjoy the conversation, and I'll be back after the show. Gary, it is a pleasure having you on the show today. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me.
Well, you know, it's a pleasure. You know, I mean, I'm going to be on your podcast. You're going to be on mine. You know, this is what we do in the podcast business. You know, we share ourselves around. We spread the knowledge. You know, my listeners get a little bit of your knowledge. Your listeners get a little bit of mine. And, you know, that's fair enough.
So yeah, and I'm like you. I just love sharing information.
Absolutely. I mean, my attitude is that the more that we can share, the more that we can just, you know, just add a little bit of nugget here, there, and everywhere, somebody's going to get something out of it. You know, somebody's going to get this nugget out of it and say, I hadn't thought of it quite that way before. And, you know, it might be just something either I say or something you say, and it's great. I mean, that's what I love about being on these podcasts is that there's always something new to learn. You know, I always walk out of there with something new.
And that's the key. You have to be open for it. Don't you agree? And that's what we're really telling the audience. Be open because we don't know what it is.
It's what
today.
Yeah. So for people who don't know about this show is called the Your Living Brand Live Show. And what it's about is how do you communicate your value to your customers? We're all unique. Every business is unique. Everybody is, you know, has a different set of things that they provide to their clients, and they have a different audience. So I want to find out more about your business. What do you do? Who do you do it for? And why do they care?
Well, I try to tell people I help create a positive culture for business owners and entrepreneurs so that they can really achieve their dreams, goals, and ambitions. And I'm big about positive culture because positive culture is not only in your business, but it's who you are as a person. And as a business owner, we're thrown many challenges each day. So how can we bring that culture not only in our life, but then how can we transfer that out? Because I think one of the challenges today is our society is continuously negative.
Right.
So you set yourself apart, and that's how I'm trying to set myself apart right now. You can be that positive person, but you may have to make some changes in the way you're doing things to get that. And I believe it works for anyone, but I'm kind of my target, my niche is those business owners and entrepreneurs because I see too often that they ride the wave of when things are great.
Absolutely.
When things are bad, then they're always like, oh, the sky's falling.
Yeah.
No, when you put it in all the time, you can ride that wave the whole time. And it starts with themselves personally.
Oh, yeah.
Some business coaching. I love speaking about it. As you know, I'm an author and I like sharing that message in multiple formats. But one of the ways I'm able to really do that is when I get in there with them on business coaching, I'm able to share that message and see them make that transformation, make those changes that they want to make.
Well, I mean, because culture is so important. I mean, it really is. I mean, culture and being able to communicate that culture effectively throughout the organization is so important. When you're an organization of two, it's pretty easy. You know, you can reach across the desk and you can have a conversation with people. But when you start getting to be 50, 100, 1,000, 5,000, 10,000, the game changes. I mean, and then you start sitting in these large organizations with 70% unengaged, you know, employees. I mean, the numbers are staggering. I mean, you wonder why you look at a millennial's resume and every 18 months they're with a different company. And it's not just the millennials these days. It's getting to be everybody. Is that everybody sitting there going, well, it's not what's the next thing within this company? It's, well, where can I know to get away from this? And, you know, the more we can create cultures that are positive cultures, that are places that people want to get up and go to work to, that rubs off on productivity, you know, health, it, you know, the customers, it rubs off on everybody. So how do you do that? How do you help people get their cultures aligned?
Well, it's kind of interesting that you said one of the keywords, and you started talking about communication when you talked about culture. Yeah. Because what I've determined now in kind of my framework that I'm working on is the C for culture is all about communication.
Absolutely.
That's what that C word as far as communication, because if you don't have the communication, you can't get the culture. Mm-hmm. You have to tell it, you have to be able to tell your story the whole time of why that communication is so important. And when business owners and entrepreneurs and those leaders are sharing that information, that's how they do it. Right. But then I think it goes deeper than that. Of course it does. And we know that to get them engaged, to get them in place. But I think I look more at that individual first, trying to then work on themselves.
Right.
I've come up with four practices that they've got to put in place. Mm-hmm. And that first one is energy. What is the energy that they need to put in? First, they got to have that mindset that sets it up. And we know how important mindset is. You got to have the willingness to want to do it. But once you have that willingness, then it's about the energy. You've got to make the choice. Goes back to the 7 habits of Stephen Covey. He said, you know, be proactive. You got to make the choice. So if you want to have energy, you've got to bring it. And energy is in multiple ways. One challenge that we see for a lot of business owners, they put so much into their business that, give you an example, for myself, I was 75 pounds heavier than I am today back in 2002.
Wow, but I made it.
Yeah, thank you. I made the choice that to get that energy, I had to change something. I had to make the changes. And I was one of those. I had 3 young children, and I made that choice. My why was really for my family. Right. It wasn't really even business-wise. But, you know, the effects that I had as I started losing the weight, I had more energy for my business. I thought more clearly. I was able to think about things never before. And as part of that energy side today is we're getting bombarded by email.
Oh, yeah.
Productivity. Everybody talks about all these productivity tips and all these hacks. And you have to figure out what works for you, because it's different for you than it is for me.
Absolutely.
But if we want more energy, we've got to figure that out, because otherwise productivity at Eat is alive. Because if you get, I don't know, they say, I saw a couple years ago, Digital Marker said an average person gets 147 emails per day.
You know what? For me, that's absolutely true.
Yeah.
You know, and the truth of the matter is 80% of them go right into the garbage.
Yeah.
They either end up in my spam folder or they get put in my spam filter, because you know what? Either you don't have enough bandwidth to deal with it all, or you just don't care.
Right.
You know, and that,
if you don't have that in place, look at the challenge for the people that don't.
It's brutal.
They used to say, you know, the old story was when email first came about, people would brag. I got 10 emails today. You don't hear people brag about how many emails they get.
Nobody brags about how many emails they got today. You know, they may brag about how many requests they got for friends on LinkedIn and Facebook, but they certainly don't brag about how many emails they got today.
So the foundation sets with that energy. And when they get that energy, then to me, it's really about the connections they make with people. And connections are all of our relationships, you know, personally as well professionally. What are those connections that we have in those relationships, and what do we want from them? And there, I believe you have to be two things. You got to be a giver and you got to be a taker.
Right.
I mean, the reason we're on this podcast is we're hoping someone takes some concept that we share today and they implement and they use.
Absolutely.
And we're glad with that, because we want to be the giver of that information. And so I think it falls in those two ways. And then the third component of that, and kind of practice that I think they have to put in, is what is their influence? Mm-hmm. You know, because as leaders, sometimes we can be the Jekyll and the Hyde, you know?
Yes, we can.
So in influence, we've got to have that positive influence there, because that's the one time that I believe in leadership, either you show positive or you show negative.
Yeah.
It's not a middle of the road type concept. It's one of those that you're one or the other. And I always love sharing an exercise I do. I can put somebody up on stage and in 30 seconds, have them talk about that individual and let them know it's all false things. I tell the person, it's all false things this person's going to say about you. And all they do is, here, your what face, I don't like your ears, all things are false. And their energy just totally drops from them. You have them put out their arms and it's gone. But when they have a negative, so that's the negative side. But when you do the same thing, turn that around 30 seconds, say all positive things about them, their energy comes back. So as leaders, we have to realize we influence the positive or the negative that's in our companies, that's in our life. And then it's all about integrating, which to me, integration is all about your, what do you need to change? And what habits and disciplines do we need to put in place? So it's really about trying to share that unique story is you put those four practices into your life, look what starts to happen. You're able to be that positive leader.
Right. And it's not just what you say, it's how you do it too.
Exactly.
You can't just say, you know, we're going to have positive customer service. And then all of a sudden you retreat into your office and just don't care and don't enable your customer service department to be able to solve problems. You know, there's got to be a trickle down effect. You know, you got to walk the walk and talk the talk. And it's so important for leaders to lead by example. You know, because if they don't, nobody believes it.
Yeah, especially in positive culture. If you say, oh, I want to have a positive work environment here. And the first thing, something goes wrong and you come down on them. I mean, that pretty well changes right away. I might as well, okay, he says one thing, but another thing happens.
Exactly. And what are you going to believe? You're going to believe that the actions, you're not going to, you know, the talk is just talk. It's the actions that people believe.
Exactly. So how can you change that? So to me, when we communicate, that's the message that we have to communicate straight out. But then we have to put those practices in because those practices help us drive to the result.
Right.
To get it. And ultimately what I say is if you put those four practices in your life personally, guess what happens professionally? Yeah. You're going to be putting them in too. So it ends up, you get that great result that you're looking for.
You know, we look at it very similarly because I believe in influence through trust. You know, you can't influence people until they trust you. Yep. And if people don't trust that you're a good leader, if people don't trust that you have their interest in saying, if they don't trust in your vision, they're not going to follow you. You know, and they're going to go out there and they're going to do their own thing and they're going to, you know, sabotage your company, sabotage your brand, and they're going to go out, you know, and work for somebody else. Because if they don't trust that what you say and what you do is congruent, nothing moves forward. You know, and all of a sudden your customers get involved and your customers go, wait a second here, all these people in this company, they're always grumbling. You know, what's going on? People start thinking about it and start thinking about, is this a brand I really want to be around? So you're right. It all starts from the top and it's being consistent across the board.
Well, and you mentioned a very interesting part there is because we started off with the communication, but it's really the people side. Yeah, and with people, if you have the relationship and you have the trust, all the things that come, I'm a believer is once we get the people side of it figured out, what happens to performance?
Yeah.
We know in the trust equation, what happens is when trust goes up, performance goes up. Well, if we understand the people side of it and our engagement with those, the performance is going to go up. Why? Because the engagement goes up.
That's right.
And then the best part, what does that equal? That equals in a business setting, it equals profits. But what does it equal into individual setting? Then you're able to have that organization where it is people-centric. And people do want to come to work and it's an engaged and it's a active group and they're sharing in that. So everything, if it goes up, same way as if the people side's not there, you got lots of turnover. There's lots of stress. Well, if the stress all goes up, what happens to performance? Performance is going to go down because
Absolutely.
The place is stressed out. I'm always stressed out here. I can't get things done because it feels like it's a whirlwind around this place. Well, if those two things are happening, what do you think profits do?
Oh, yeah.
They're going to be low.
Yeah.
So it really sets up this whole concept that, you know, I've been working on over the last several years, and it's really starting to come kind of my fruition of what my story of what I want to share audiences when I speak is we get this people side. It still ultimately comes to culture.
Sure.
But when we get this people side down, it's going to change the performance we have, and ultimately it's going to change their bottom line. So people ask, why does it matter? That's why culture matters. Culture is not having slides and having all the food you can eat. Actually, that's
the ping pong tables and the foosball tables.
Exactly. It can be a part of it. Don't get me wrong if you want that. But that is not culture. And that's where we've gotten off, is people have seen those things and they'll bring those things in their business. Well, that stuff doesn't work.
Right.
They not got the people side.
I got the beanbag chairs and the foosball table. How come I don't have positive culture?
That's right. So it just that shows you that it's more about, and I love what you said to start out with, because that's my belief. Culture starts with communication.
Absolutely. There's a company that I used to work for, a company called Mar Terminals. These guys do deep water ports around the world. Now, Mar has since sold the company. There was a Mr. Mar. He sold the company, and he's gone off and he's retired. He's taken his hundreds of millions of dollars and moved offshore. But when he ran the company, he realized for every dollar that he spent on safety culture, there was $8 in profit. So he, for every $1 million he spent worldwide on promoting a positive safety culture, he figures he saved $8 million in productivity, in days lost, in, lower insurance rates, and happier staff, less turnover, all those type of things, led to a better company culture. And he sat there and says, why wouldn't I spend $1 million, $2 million, $3 million doing this if I'm gonna make $8, $16, $24 million, and my staff are safer and they're more productive and they're happier and everything that goes along with it. So it's a matter of understanding that there's real tangible value. It's not just lip service, oh, we're going to have a great company culture. These things actually add up to dollars and cents.
And I think that's the key people have to realize, because business owners are still trying to figure out, companies are still trying to figure out. And today, I mean, I'm in the U.S., the employment market is very, very good.
Yes, it is.
So the challenge is if you have a poor culture, people are running from you, because today they think the economy is really good. So guess what they're doing? They're willing to go find other positions. And I work with a lot of small business owners, and they're struggling to find new staff.
Sure.
Their culture is terrible because they don't have that capability. It's not always about the highest paycheck either.
No.
And that's the thing I think people forget about. Yes, we all have to have an income level that sustains us, and mm-hmm. everyone has a different level. Yours is different than probably mine. Somebody else's is different than other ones.
Absolutely.
Once you meet that basic needs, then it's about, am I enjoying this? And especially right. when the economies are good, that's when people leave. When the economies are bad, people
hang on to their job for dear life, because they're terrified that there might not be somebody else out there.
Yeah. Because they're meant to have that opportunity. So we see it all the time. I had this one example. I used to own, or was a contract agent for the Department of Revenue in Missouri.
Right.
And basically ran their license office, where you got your tags and your plates and you get mm-hmm. your driver's license, those type of things. And that office before was state run. Well, state run, had 23 employees, terrible service, You weren't the customer. You were just somebody that had to do business. You were a pain, to them. I take it over. We cut it down. And that when we first took over, we had 12 full-time staff and 2 part-time, where they had 23 full-time staff. And we broke it down. And I talked about customer service and said what we were going to change in customer service. And we made some changes, brought in like a popcorn machine, changed the way that the lines got too long, how we did it. And of course, the busy time was at the end of the day, or during 11 to 1 when everybody was taking lunch. Well, before, they would close down stations during the lunch shift. Well, we staggered our lunches, so all stations always stayed open to improve that. And I used a term by a friend of mine, Shep Hyken, wrote the book Moments of Magic. And I shared, but we've got to give that positive moment of magic that's mm-hmm. with each customer. I had the center, the agency for about 9 years. And what I did, though, is I didn't just tell them. I practiced it, like you said.
Right, exactly.
See what I see. But then we created a culture. I got to know each one of our staff. I got to know them personally. I knew who they were married to. I knew if they had kids. And I didn't go in the office that often, I'll be honest, because I had another couple businesses too. Sure. This was kind of a one and one of the smaller ones. But between myself and I'll admit, a lot of it happened from my leader that was in that location sharing it. But together, we worked together to create that culture. And we created a culture that totally changed. I mean, the whole time I had it, they used to get complaints weekly, monthly. The whole time I had it, we had less than 10 written complaints in the Department of Revenue in over 9-year period. And the reason was, it was the people.
Sure.
The people and the atmosphere that we created. So it works, and I know it can work. That was a very small, there was only 12, 14 employees, but we created. But I also created fun with it. You know, I became known as the ice cream guy. Because if I come and it was a hot day in Missouri, which it gets pretty hot,
yes,
I'd bring shakes to them. But the thing I'd always do there is if I had 10 staff on or 12 staff working that day, I'd bring 15. And never would fail. I'd bring the shake around and I'd give it to one of the girls that was serving the customers. And somebody say, oh, that's awful nice of your boss. Oh, would you like one? Oh, no, I'm just kidding. It's, no.
Please, here, have one. And look at the stories that tells.
Yeah.
That's the phenomenal story. All of a sudden you have a customer out there telling the story of your, we walked in and, you know, they brought ice cream for the staff and they had one for me too. You know, it's a great story.
I have a driver's license, Aiden.
I have my driver's license too. And somebody actually had a smile on their face.
So what is the culture that you want to put in? And that becomes the key. And just start implementing. And don't try to go all the way. Start small. Start with yourself first, I believe in, but then start with your people. And what can you do? Be that difference. Be that change. And I just know, and I'm kind of doing some of this research right now, Ben, and it's a lot of fun seeing that as we do take time with the people, performance goes up, profits goes up. And as I start to really be able to share that with more audience, I think it's going to resonate. And I know some people know that, but they don't know how to do it. And that's the key. And I think what they do is they think it's a system they put in place and there has to be some system to it. But first, it's you that's driving the train, the leaders and the people that's leading the organization.
Well, it's got to be internalized. Exactly. Before there's systems, there's got to be internal. You got to believe it. You got to drink the Kool-Aid yourself. Because if you don't drink the Kool-Aid, nobody else is going to. Nobody else is going to believe it if you don't believe it yourself. If you are not sitting there going, you know what? These are the things that I believe in. It doesn't matter what you believe in. This is what I believe the culture of this organization should be. And I'm going to lead it from a, from the top down. And I'm going to live it. And, and I'm going to, every single day, if I think that my employees are really important, I'm going to get to know my employees. I'm going to get to know who their families are. I'm going to get to know when their kids' birthdays are, or celebration, or maybe have scholarships for the kids of my employees or whatever. There's lots of things that you can do. A family picnic that you do once a year. There's lots of things that you can do to be able to get your staff to say, hey, wait a second, they care about me. This isn't just a job. This isn't just a paycheck. I can get a paycheck anywhere, but I'm not treated like this everywhere. So therefore, maybe I make 5% or 8% less than I would if I went over there. But you know what? I'm never going to be treated as well. And I'm not going to get the same insurance, coverage. I'm not going to get the same feeling when I walk into the office. And those are the things that most companies, they look at it as, that cost me money. That cost me money to do that. Yeah, but you did. But look at the dividends. Look at the dividends that it creates.
And when you put that in place, that will make all difference. And the other is, let's be honest, it's more fun to lead an organization like that.
Absolutely.
So why be that organization that you can't have fun leading it? And entrepreneurs, that's one of the biggest challenges they have. They get into something because of why. They love doing it.
Yeah.
We love to speak. We love to share knowledge. Yeah. Well, that's the reason that we was attracted to that. Well, if we take everything that we love about it and then pull that away of all the challenges and everything, well, then we're not going to enjoy it very much.
And
the journey is too short. I've been a business owner, luckily, about 12 different businesses over the last 28 years. But I'll be honest, early in my career, I didn't enjoy the journey.
That's right.
It was a struggle. And it was always about bottom line. And I was thinking, how can you cut and all those? So I'll admit, I wasn't there at the very beginning.
But I don't think any of us were.
No.
I mean, quite honestly, I don't think any of us were. So it's something as you get older, I think you get wiser.
Yeah.
Or
and
hopefully.
Today, our market's demanding it. So
yeah.
Now
oh, yeah.
You have to be, because now, to be quite honest, the younger generation does have it figured out. They don't want it to be all work, no play.
That's right.
And you know what? There's nothing wrong with that. I wrote a book, you know, people want to talk about everything that's wrong with the millennials.
Yeah.
You know what's wrong with the millennials?
We probably treat them like millennials.
Yeah, that can be one. But the other is, we got a mindset that they should be like us.
That's right.
Every generation is trade off the next generation. I have a piece in my book that I put out.
Yeah.
My
flash your book up.
Yeah, this was one of them. This one was just a millennial one that I did. And it was 21 ways to attract, retain, and engage millennials.
Phenomenal.
And in there, I share a story, and I normally never share at the beginning of the story. I never share, it's really just a saying that's in there, that is by Peter the Hermit at 1274. Uh-huh. But I never tell people before what that is. So I shouldn't have done that, but here I did that already. But here's what it says, and think about it. This could be said today. It says, the world is passing through troublous times. The young people of today think of nothing but themselves. They know no reverence or parents or old age. They are impatient of all restraint. They talk as if they know everything, and what passes for wisdom with us is foolishness with them. And if you don't show the date,
that's
and then
right.
You put it up there.
People go, oh, obviously, there's got to be this generation.
Yeah. And instead, it's Peter the Hermit says in 1274. That's
love it.
There. So it's
we all learn this is, you know what? Every generation pulls their hairs out about the generation after them. You know, exactly. That's just the way it is. You know, that's just the way it is. So look, you know, two things. One thing is what's the best way to get for people to get a hold of you? I mean, I want to make sure that we get that.
Sure. And go to my website. It's goascend.biz. It's goascend.biz. Or they can check me out on Facebook, Gary Wilbers. I'm on Facebook, LinkedIn, Twitter. Don't do the Instagram at this point in time. I've kind of decided those were my choices
that go.
I want to be out there, that you can find me, and you can just find me under my name, Gary Wilbers, and it's WILBERS.
All that will be in the show notes, so everybody will be able to get that. And the last thing I want to do is, before I let you go, and I ask this question to everybody, when you walk out of a meeting or you walk out of a session and you get in your car and you drive away, what's the one thing you want people to think about when you're not in the room?
How can they change to put the positive culture in their own life?
I love it.
Because I'll give examples, I'll give stories. That's me. Mm-hmm. What I want them to walk away is, how am I going to put that positive culture in? And hopefully, if they're in an audience that they are a business owner, then in their business and their personal life. Because I really think positive culture wins in business and life. And that was my latest book that I wrote, because we have to determine to be the one to put it there. So when they walk out, that's what I want them to thinking. How can I now do this? Okay, I've got the reasons behind it, but now it's up to me to do it. And I think that's the difference.
And that's the difference is getting the people who are just going to stop thinking about it and start actually doing it. That's
exactly.
that's where success really comes from. It's actually, you know, stopping what you're doing today, figuring out where the changes need to be, and making those changes happen.
And that's why I love, and you said I could share this, is I've got a freebie.
Yeah.
I start a program called the 7 Days of Charge, because I believe in charge, because charge is an acronym of mine. Create habits around real goals every day. Well, if you want to have a positive culture, you got to start some habits around that. It's not going to just happen. So if you want it, it's a free download. It's a video with some worksheets each day. It comes 7 days in a row. Just go to positiveculturewins.biz and you'll be able to, give your email. And you'll receive an email for 7 days. And I tell people, if you're done with it, then just, you know, and you don't want my other information, then just say no. But
perfect.
Get the information that you need, and then you can always disconnect out of it. But get that information you need to put the positive culture that you want each and every day.
Well, make sure you send that link to me, and I'll make sure I get it out to everybody.
Okay.
Gary, it has been an absolute pleasure being with you. Hang out in the green room a second. I'm just going to say goodbye to everybody, and I'll be right back.
Okay.
Now, Gary's a bundle of energy and a lot of fun to deal with. Thanks so very much for having him on the show today. I hope you all enjoy it. My name is Ben Baker. My company is Your Brand Marketing. Now, 9 to 5, Monday to Friday, what do? We do workshops, keynotes, and consulting on brand message, market vision, and value. Our job is to be the storyteller of your brand, to help you to stop being a commodity and start being a brand worth loving. Because that's what life is all about. It's about being valuable. It's understanding who you're valuable to, why you're valuable to them, and why they should care about you. And I want to help tell your story so people understand who you're valuable to and why they should care about you. But every Wednesday at 10 o'clock in the morning on the West Coast, this is the YourLivingBrand.live show. Come join us next week. We'd love to have you here. Have a great day.